Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It goes. I appreciate you having me. Thanks for making that happen.
Yeah, and well, thanks for being here. And Adam Christensen from the MacCast, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Awesome. So, and I'm so glad you're here too. And the reason I wanted to have both of you here today is because this is iOS 11 and watchOS 4 launch day. And we are all three people that rush in where angels fear to tread and start running beta versions of everything far earlier than is probably wise. and we tend to survive. So we've had a little bit of experience with both. So I figured it's time for us to talk about this since we have listeners that are very likely going to be upgrading shortly after listening to the show. So let's start off with iOS 11. And I'm assuming both of you have been running iOS 11 pretty much since beta 1.
Not since beta one for me, but since for about probably the last 6 weeks on my main device. I have been running it on a test device since beta one, but
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I ran it on an iPad Pro pretty early on, I think beta two or three, and then I did not install it on my phone until very recently.
Yeah, same here. So I've been running the beta on an iPad pretty much since day one, but on my iPhone, my primary iPhone, it's been only like the last couple betas, and I waited for watchOS 4 until the GM came out, because when you're doing beta with a watchOS, if something goes wrong, you're in a really bad place. With iOS 11 out, what's your overall impression?
I've been impressed with it. I feel like I've been fighting a battery life issue for the last almost exactly the same 6 weeks. And I'm not sure if that's related to some app that's misbehaving or iOS 11 itself or something entirely different, like my cell service at home changed and therefore is, you know, causing issues. It's hard to say, but that's negative wise. That's the only thing that might be related to iOS 11 that I've experienced.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, Dave. I've also been sort of noticing, and I haven't been able to really track it or pinpoint it. A couple times I've noticed some battery issues, and it seems to be intermittent and not consistent. And yesterday I thought I had one, but I realized that I was stuck in traffic for about 3 hours and navigating the whole time.
Yeah.
And didn't have my phone plugged in. So when I got where I was going, I was like, wow, I only have 25% battery life. What's going on? But I had turned my, I had Siri directions on directions turned on and realized I probably had not charged it the night before. And that's where I've gotten with charging too, is like, I don't really think about it much anymore. So I'm in the same boat. A few times I've gone, wow, it's really weird that I don't have as much battery as I think I should have.
Yeah.
But because I haven't been paying close attention, I can't necessarily blame iOS 11, but I'm in the same boat. I'm tentatively cautious about, hey, there may be some battery things going on here.
Yeah. I feel like background refresh is related to it for me. And again, that could be iOS 11, or it could be some app that is misbehaving with iOS 11. Mm-hmm. And we'll see a lot of those updates being pushed out today. Some of those updates are just going to be behind the scenes stuff where it's okay, we're just taking advantage of some of this stuff with iOS 11, but you're not going to get that, any new features. And some apps are actually going to have tons of new features, that will help you navigate through too. But yeah,
the one big initial impression I had, especially even more on my phone than I did on my, my iPad, is I think I really like the new look with the large titles in a lot of sort of Apple's apps, you know, like the music app and the stores and stuff like that, that the big chunky titles at the top that aren't in such a thin font.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
I kind of like, I like the style, and I like the, I like things like the new app switcher, you know, being the way it is with kind of the cards. A lot of people had mentioned, it seems like Apple's borrowed a lot from the Palm Pre design aesthetics, you know, the ill-fated Palm Pre.
Yeah.
And, but I like it overall. I think I like how the gestures just feel more natural and more smooth to me in this one than they ever have.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a smoother thing. Starting with the update, I don't think we're going to hear about many people having issues upgrading to iOS 11 today. I mean, I know we've talked till we're blue in the face about how you need to get your backups and all of that, which you do, but we don't expect you're going to need them, but that's not an excuse not to do them.
Surprised. Yeah. But, you know what? Why tempt fate? Make sure you have those backups.
Yeah.
I also, another thing in the UI that I immediately noticed, again, more on my iPhone than in any other device, is just the larger touch points on everything, whether it be passcode entry or the phone app, or again, everything is kind of the best way I can describe it. And it sounds bad, but it's not. It's sort of like bigger and chunkier. If that makes any sense.
It's bigger and chunkier, but sleek.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not in a bad way. It's just, it's actually in a good way because, you know, I find things easier to read being, you know, a little bit older and my eyes are getting worse and worse every day. And just having sort of larger touch point areas just seems to make things go a little bit more smoothly and easily.
Yep.
Yeah. Are there any features that are really standing out to you, like good or bad?
Again, I was navigating yesterday, and two huge ones are the new Siri voice, which is great for navigating, and the new the lane assist stuff that they've added in. So now it's finally, I don't know why this took so long, but you're getting really good, you know, make sure you're in the left two lanes kind of instructions from Siri. She's a lot more vocal about stuff. One I noticed immediately, again, because I got into traffic, is now she doesn't just say alternate route available and display something on the screen. She actually will say alternate route available. And I think I'm going from memory, but recommended the name of the exit and said, you know, hey, it's coming up. The only weird thing about the new sort of lane assist stuff is she seems very pushy when you reach your exit. And I wish I could remember the exact phrasing, but it's basically like, exit now. It's like, wow. You know,
I've noticed that too, but I'm not going to complain here about that.
No. But it was just, it caught me off guard at first because it's like this new thing. And it's like, oh, okay.
You know, I've heard several people tell me that they get frustrated because they'll occasionally miss an exit unless they have an Apple Watch, because then they're getting the tap on the wrist far enough in advance that they know the exit's coming up. But with their iPhone, they were getting the notice and it was too late to get over.
And I think the other reason she's a lot more verbal with the directions now too is because I also did allow it to enable the do not disturb while driving, which is fabulous.
I have played with that too.
Really great.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing. I had to turn that off only because I wasn't getting it. It's not smart enough to know that my car can read me messages, and so it, like, nothing was coming through. And then also, when you get to where you're going, it doesn't tell you, like, the post drive notification wasn't entirely clear to me that I had things that came in while I was driving, and I wound up missing things quite a bit. So I wound up turning that off. I wonder if that was, you know, an early beta thing and perhaps has been tweaked somewhat. I have not turned it on. I figured I have the GM now, so I
didn't notice that. One tip that people might want to know is for anybody who you have in your VIP contacts, if they text the word urgent, it will break through. right. the do not disturb while driving.
Yeah. So have them send the message and then follow it up immediately with a second message that says urgent.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you'll get your message.
Again, they have to be in your VIPs, in yes. your contacts.
We're talking about some, and these are good features, but these are relatively what I consider sort of, you know, fringe features. I don't mm-hmm. want to say they're esoteric, but where iOS 11 is going to make a huge difference for you is if you're running an iPad right, and you've yeah. got a dock now that you didn't have before, which I actually love, being able to swipe up and bring that dock up so that I can switch quickly to one of my other apps is awesome. Mm-hmm. Very, very easy. And then having that dock also allows you to do the whole new UI for split screen and then also drag and drop, where you can do multitasking and you can actually have, I've had three apps up on the screen simultaneously, two in split screen and then one in slide over. And it works. It's pretty amazing how fluid you can be. It's going to be totally foreign to you when you do this, though. It is not comfortable. It's not what you would expect, but nope. it does work. And sometimes you've got to, you know, don't be afraid to spend a little bit of time sort of learning how, and we've got some pieces up that'll show you how to do this, but, you know, holding one app up with a finger on the screen and then using multi-touch to swipe through others and bring another one up. It's totally, it feels kludgy and it feels clunky and uncomfortable. But once you've done it a couple of times and you know that it's possible, when you're in one of those moments where you're like, I really want this, but there's no like obvious way to just tap one thing and get there, you can do the hokey pokey and get it to happen really efficiently. So it is worth learning that little dance that you have to do, because it's very cool.
You know,
it becomes
my feeling with the whole split screen multitasking drag and drop thing yeah. is that it works, and it works well once you've mastered everything, but it's almost as if one of the engineers on that team was a cephalopod.
yeah totally. I think I met him actually at WWDC in the demo room, because he was like showing me all, and he told me he was one of the engineers. He's like, oh, this is awesome, you're going to see. And it was like, whoa. And he was doing it holding this thing up. Like, it wasn't even on a table. So one of his hands was at least partially responsible for not dropping the device.
Wow.
So I think I met that guy. He wasn't a cephalopod, but he seemed like one. So
it's definitely a dexterity thing. But I think, Dave, you made the good point. If you know, once you start doing it and do it enough, it's like everything else. It's like thumb typing, right? Back right. in the day, nobody was a good thumb typer, and you know, you can become one. And I think this is kind of the same sort of thing. It's like, once you start using it and get in the habit of it, it will eventually just become sort of this natural thing, and you'll just be able to do whatever you want. And this is a common with a lot of new technologies and stuff like that we have to sort of adapt to. So there's a little adapting and, I guess a little Darwinism coming into play here, right? You're going to be able to upgrade yourself and get into this. Another big thing that unfortunately I haven't used too much that I was excited about, and I know a lot of people are excited about, is the Files app. Have you guys messed with the Files app? And I think the reason I'm not using it that much is because I'm so trained. You know, it's another learning thing. I'm so trained that I don't have that.
I found that even though I've been trained just like you to not even think about it, that I quickly started using the Files app. And I'm going in and I'm rearranging content documents based on projects, and you know, I'll make a new folder and I'm just moving stuff around in it, and it just works and it's really seamless. And one of the things that was a wonderful surprise for me, I'm a Transmit user, so the FTP app, and you know, so I have it on my Mac, I have it on my iPad, I have it on my iPhone, all the data synced between all of them. Transmit shows up in Files. So I have an alternate FTP interface in the Files app. So I can grab stuff, say from my Dropbox account or local from my iPad, and FTP it somewhere else, or copy something from an FTP server right to my iPad. Because Transmit just shows up.
Hey, that's pretty cool. I never thought of using it that way. Huh.
And I wouldn't have thought to use it that way, except that Transmit was there.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I've got to see what this does. And I started jumping around, and pretty soon I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I've just got this unified interface with all of my stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about Files.
Hmm.
And I like that it's not the Finder on my iPad. It's a new right. way of thinking about file management that's more appropriate to this platform and a touch interface.
Yeah, my problem is I'm just not thinking about it because, again, I'm not trained to think that this thing is there and I need to get through that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm bummed about right now is that Google Drive isn't showing up for me. I mean, it was there early in the betas and then was gone and hasn't come back yet. So yeah. Once Google Drive comes back, then I've got all of my cloud storage in one place and my local storage there with it and this FTP interface.
Yeah, and I think drag and drop goes along with this. Again, I haven't found myself really using drag and drop all that much, but you know, I probably should be. And again, there's going to be a learning curve there. But once I learn it, I think it's going to be a much better way of doing things.
Yep. And yeah, it's like everything else. There's this learning curve. And once we get there, then we're good to go. Yeah. We could talk all day about iOS, but we only have a couple minutes left. And I'm curious if you guys have any first impressions about watchOS 4.
Yeah, I like it. I know a lot of this. There were a lot of kind of key features in the exercise app and stuff like that. And I'm one of these people who fall in the category of being a nerd and not probably exercising as much as I should. I did immediately play around with over the week. On the weekends, changing my watch face to the Toy Story faces, and those are kind of fun, and I'm enjoying those. Mm-hmm. I know that's not like a killer feature, but it is a fun feature, and it's pretty neat. My first impression of the new, I guess you call it the app switcher or whatever. You know, when you press the side button now, and you see the apps that you had docked or open recently, it's more this vertical card interface. I don't know if I like it better yet or not than
the... I definitely like it better.
The sliding interface. You definitely like it better.
Yeah. It just... Yeah. It just makes more sense for my brain. The watch face that I thought I was going to love and immediately did not like the Siri watch face.
It's interesting. My 15-year-old son has been running the betas and mm-hmm. absolutely loves the Siri watch face. And part of him hates that he loves it because he's been an analog watch user for a long time. I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree on that one.
Sure.
And so he always had used an analog watch face on his Apple Watch because that's how he likes to think about time. And the Siri watch face uses a digital readout to make things more efficient and fit it all in. And he misses having an analog watch face, but he finds the Siri face. It's predictive. It shows him the information that he needs. He keeps selling me on it over and over again. So it's definitely worth checking that out.
Is it the lack of I would assume for you, Jeff, it's the lack of complication spaces. Mostly
the lack of complications. Yeah, that plays a part in it. The other part was I felt like it was too rigid, meaning I didn't have enough control over what Siri was really going to be showing me, not to the level that I wanted.
Gotcha. So what Siri was surfacing, because I've been playing with it a little bit, and I think I do like it. I like this sort of card style interface, which feels very Google-esque, actually, to me, to a certain degree, where it's just going to naturally surface throughout the day the information that it thinks that I want at any given moment. I'm retaining judgment to find out if I haven't used it enough to decide if it's doing a good job yet or not.
Yeah, and for me, I guess what it came down to, it really wasn't doing a good enough job.
Right. I wonder how much learning Apple's learning technologies are built into that. Like if it would adapt by you using it more. So if it could, I have to wonder if it's one of these things, like the more you use it, the better it will get.
Maybe. And maybe my problem is I'm just not patient enough. Yeah. All right. We're pretty much out of time. Are there any other watch features or, you know, if you're like really excited about an iOS feature that you want to hit, now's the time.
I can't think of anything that we haven't really covered. I'm sure there will be more as the great thing about it finally hitting the public space is that there's going to be all kinds of things that I've either forgotten about or missed that I'm now going to be made aware of. And so I'm just sort of excited now that it's going public, because it's always a great time for learning from the people and in my audience and people that follow us and other people in the community. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to apps. You know, there've been a couple that I've had, you know, beta access to or whatever, where I can test some of the iOS 11 mm-hmm. features. But a lot of these, especially like the messages integrations and all of those things that can now be done in a different way. I mean, I know we had them in iOS 10 too, but there's more. And those, you know, really only start to pay off once everybody you communicate with is running this.
Right.
And don't forget, now that iOS 11's out, mm-hmm. you can take advantage of family shared data plans or storage plans, not data.
Oh, yeah. I need to upgrade to
family
those.
Shared storage. So you need to make sure each person is on iOS 11, and then you can join the family plan and it'll cancel the other one. And so for $10 a month, you get 2 terabytes of data or 2 terabytes of storage. Sorry, for the family. And that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
Mm hmm.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see what other updates for apps come out today, because as you just said, Dave, iOS 11 is out now, as yep. is WatchOS 4 and tvOS 11. So get your backups done.
It's go time. Downloading.
Yep. It's go time. All right. And we are out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, you're welcome. Really enjoyed it.
It was a lot of fun having both of you on the show. And listeners, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.